Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. We'll read verses 5 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, what a beautiful day, not just with the weather, but Lord, what you did here on this property. Dozens of people walking these aisles, trusting you as Savior. Folks being baptized. Decisions being made to where people would yield to you and be used of you in greater and new ways to have your favor upon their life. And yet, this morning's blessings won't do. Lord, we're a needy people. We need you more and more because we're a sinful people. Pray that you'd help our preacher tonight, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts so we could go out and reach more for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my sermon this evening is simply this: The Form of a Servant. The Form of a Servant. Let me read a couple of little portions of Scripture again to you. You read them earlier. The Bible says, also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Here the Bible says that Jesus, he was made in the form of God. And then when he came to earth, he was clothed in flesh, but it says that he took on the form of a servant. Now, he was in the form of God, and yet he was in the form of a servant, clothed in the flesh. Let me tell you, so you understand, the greatest servant ever was Jesus Christ. The greatest servant prior to Christ coming in the flesh was God himself. Do you realize how much God serves you? He keeps your heart beating, constantly making sure that there is food. The birds can fly, the stars can shine. None of that takes place without the hand of God. God constantly serving. We call it nature, but all of creation is dependent on God, and God takes care of feeding the animals, and God takes care of making sure that water falls from the sky so that the plants can grow, and that you and I have water, and that we have food. If we began to analyze the human body, and the blood in that body, and the bones in that body, and the skin on that body, and that God is ever watchful and taking care of it all. The greatest servant ever was God himself. And when Jesus Christ came and God was put into a human body, he was in the form of God. He came in the form of a servant. It was merely clothed in a human body. It amazes me that here it says, Jesus, that's God, took on the form of a servant. Let me ask you a question. What is the most important title in the United States of America? Most would say president. I think it would be servant. What is the most important title in the church? Many would say pastor. But I think God would probably say servant. What's the most important title on a ball team? Most would say coach. I would say servant. What's the most important title in the classroom? You say it's teacher. I would say it's servant. What's the most important title in the home? You'd say it's mom or dad or parent. I would say the most important title in a home is that of servant. What's the most important title in the emergency room? You'd say doctor. I would say servant. What's the most important title in an empire? You'd say king. No, I would say servant. What's the most important title in a company? You'd say, well, it's the corporate executive. It's the CEO. No, I'd say it's servant. What's the most important title
in an army? You say, well, it'd be general or commander-in-chief. I would say it's servant. What's the most important position at Martinsburg Christian Academy? You'd say, well, it's the principal. I would say it's servant. What's the most important position at some Bible college somewhere? You'd say, well, it's president. I would say the most important title is servant. To God, the greatest title is not president, it's servant. To God, the greatest title is not pastor, it's servant. To God, the greatest title is not coach or teacher or father or husband or doctor or king or CEO or general or principal, it's servant. To God, the greatest title a human can hold is that of servant. Oh, what God said in Joshua chapter 1. God said to Joshua, paid a compliment, incredible, about Moses. Moses had died. Joshua was about to take over now, leading God's people. And God said to Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. That was the way that God bragged on Moses. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Too many people seek titles in life. Greatness in life is not achieved through titles. True greatness does not seek a title, nor does it need a title. True greatness seeks only the title of servant. Better yet, true greatness seeks to serve and not to be served. Let me see if I could give you what I think are some very scriptural traits that all servants have. The truest form of servants, a servant is the greatest. And if that be true, these traits of servitude are what make servants great. For instance, number one, servants are made great by making their tasks in life great. Servants are made great by making their tasks in life great. Hey, see what you do as big. Stop worrying about what title you get. Stop worrying about how everybody sees you, and just decide whatever the task is in life that you are going to make that task big, and you're going to make that task great. Don't just father a child. Be a dad. Hey, don't just be a married woman. Be a homemaker. And there's a difference to me. Don't be a typist. Be a secretary. Don't just be a burger flipper. Be a chef. Don't be a public speaker. Be an orator. Don't just be a bookkeeper. Be an accountant. Don't be a pipe fitter. Be a plumber. What am I saying? You need to look at whatever your task is and make that task great. Make it big. Realize that what you're about to do, if it's work you're doing, it ought to be done right. And you ought to exalt that job. Not exalt yourself. Exalt that job. And throw yourself into it. Don't be a janitor. Be a custodial maintenance engineer. Don't be a handyman. Be a carpenter that's going to build something. Too often, we want greatness for ourselves, and greatness is not found in self-exaltation. Greatness is found in taking a task and exalting that task and making that task big. In my opinion, if I ask this question, who was the most famous soldier in World War I? I would say it was Sergeant York. Wait a minute, it wasn't 4-star General York or 3-star General York or 2-star General York, it was Sergeant. He was not a general. It wasn't Major York or Colonel York or Captain York or Lieutenant York. It was Sergeant. Well, what happened? Here's a sergeant that took his job and he said, doesn't matter what rank I have, I'm going to be the best soldier I can be. He took his job and exalted his job, and God said, the people that are interested in title, they're not going to become famous for World War I. I'll take a guy that'll take his talent and he'll make what he does big. His name is engraved in history. Because he tried to get a big name? No, he just shot everybody he could. You take Florence Nightingale. All she was a nurse. Can one nurse influence the whole world? All she did was every day she served her patients in a great way. She took the service of the sick as a big thing. It was a big job. It was a big deal. Their health was big. She wasn't worried about Florence Nightingale. She was worried about serving her patients. I really believe there is no doctor in history as famous as that nurse. But you go down to the hospital, they don't have the pictures of all the nurses on the wall so you can look at all their titles and all the degrees after their name. They don't do that. They do it with the doctors. But here's somebody that said, I'm not worried about my title. I'm worried about doing my job in a great way. Servants are made great by making the tasks of their life great. Susanna Wesley. Most people would have heard that name. She's a mother. Just a mother, but wait a minute, the mother of 19 children, including the great John and the great Charles Wesley. She did not try to become famous. She just took the job of being mama, and she exalted it, and she said, I don't have to have a big title. I don't have to have a big name. I don't have to have my name in lights. I just want to make mom a big job. And she did. She went down in history as one of the greatest mothers ever on the face of this earth.
Right.
You know something? Preachers are not made great because they go to great churches. Not at all. You take Dr. Lee Robertson. Lee Robertson, many, many years ago, took a little handful of people, and he made that church great. It started small. He didn't walk into the greatness. What he did is he walked into a situation, and he said, I'll serve everybody I can. And that church, it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. Hey, greatness can't be inherited. It's got to be earned. He made his cause great. The same is true about others. Someone said, well, if I could get that position, boy, that's going to do something for me. Let me tell you something. Any position you take, you better have what it takes to make that position great, or you're not going to last. It's not all about position. It's not all about title. You say, well, do you know what my title is? I don't really care what your title is. I know people with big titles, and there are people with lesser titles in the same organization that can work circles around them. They're more productive. They get more done. Titles don't impress me, and they never have. Never have. It's not the title that counts. It's what you are that counts. You say, what am I supposed to be? We're to be servants. Because the servant is the greatest of them all. And so, may I say to you, number one, servants are made great by making their task great, not by trying to make themselves great. Number two, servants are often remembered, while others with big titles are often forgotten. For instance, we all remember the Old Testament story of a little Syrian maid who pointed Naaman, the leper, to Elisha for healing. Remember, she went to Elisha and said, look, you've got this leprosy, and I know where there's a prophet, and that prophet can get you healed. And that little Syrian maid had Elisha, or had Naaman go down and see Elisha, and Elisha helped to heal him. Now, let me explain something. That was just a little Syrian maid. She was a captive. Does anybody know who the queen of Syria was at that time? Nobody does. Nobody knows who the queen was in that era, but we all know about a little servant lady. Servants are remembered for the good that they do, not for their name. While others with big titles can easily be forgotten. There's a famous preacher by the name of John Huss. Many of you that know anything about church history would know John Huss was burned at the stake for his stand for Christ. They actually put a mock crown on him and set him ablaze and burnt him to death. John Huss, just a preacher that stood for what he believed. Does anybody know the name of the king that ordered his death? I would expect not. So we forgot the king, but we remembered the measly preacher that stood for the truth. You see, servants are often remembered, while others with the big titles are quickly forgotten. A man by the name of Charles Finney held great revivals in the city of New York, and he was a lawyer that got called to preach and gave up his law practice. And but you know, when he was called to preach, and Finney started getting excited, here he was just a layman in the church, and he got all excited. He got called to preach. He was getting ready to give up his work as a lawyer. He's getting ready to go out into the ministry. You know what his home pastor did? His home pastor disowned him. I wish you could read the story. His own pastor said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? That is foolish. You shouldn't give up your law practice and consider going and serving God." Let me ask you a question. Who here knows the name of Finney's home pastor? Nobody. Who here has ever heard of Charles Finney? Raise your hand. Who here has heard of the Syrian maid that helped the healing of Naaman? We all have. Nobody knows who the queen of Syria was. Who here has heard of John Huss? You've heard of John Huss. Who's heard of the king that ordered him burned at the stake? Nobody's heard of him. They don't know who he is. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of the last generation, was voted out of the London Baptist Association by 7 men. They voted him out. I wonder how many people could name one of the 7 that voted him out. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody. Martin Luther was persecuted by a Roman Catholic pope. I wonder if anybody knows who that pope was. There might be one person. I think, Brother English, weren't you alive back then? Brother English might know that name. Do you know something? 99.9% of the people in this room have no idea who the Pope was that persecuted Martin Luther, but Martin Luther went down in history for his stand for the faith of God. You see, servants are remembered, while others with big titles are forgotten. Jesus came in the form of a servant. What does it mean to be formed as a servant? Here's how you get formed as a servant. You stop worrying about you and you start worrying about the tasks that you are given to do. Get you out of the road and exalt your task. A preacher is to magnify his office. Mamas are to see their job as big. Daddies are to see their job as big. Whatever your task in the church, you get you out of the road and you take that task and say, "I will do that task in a great way." And you ought to do that because servants will be remembered. Big titles will be forgotten. Number 3, servants get lost in a cause. You're not made great by deciding to be great. You're made great by losing yourself in a cause and making your cause great. I remember I had been around so many really senior citizens and wise, hard-working people. I'd heard them talk about this subject of character and character and character and character. And they would say, what's missing in America today is character. And the character of this generation is anemic. And I'd hear them say that. And I just kept on writing down little notes about the subject of character, and I began to study my Bible, and I'd gotten all this material together about character, and I'd teach it in our family devotions, and I'd preach on it. And one day my wife and I were talking, and she said, "Honey, write a book for our children. Put all your notes together and write a book for our children so you have something to give them on this important matter of character." I wrote a book. I wrote it originally for my children. I wrote it because I wanted to serve my kids and I wanted to teach my kids to get up early and work hard and be honest and tell the truth. I wanted them to learn about this subject of character, which, by the way, parents, we've got to teach our children character, verbally and by example. Well, I discovered people would read the book. Listen, I did not write my book on character, which it was the first book that I wrote. I didn't write it with the intent of spreading it around the world. Had no idea. I had no idea it would have 7 different printings. I had no idea. all I was doing was I threw myself in to the cause of training my children for character. And before long, the last I heard, the book is used in 15 different Bible colleges as a textbook. It's all over. It's in every state in the Union and many foreign countries. It's been printed in other languages. But the intent was not to put my name on the front of that book and to get credit for it. I was caught up in the cause of giving an inheritance to my children. You see, we've got to get lost in our cause. You say, I want to write a book so I can get my name out. You're not catching it. It's not all about getting your name out. It's all about being lost in a cause. When you have passion, when you look at something and you say, it's got to be done, and I've got to do something about this, you'll write a better book that way. People that write books for the sake of making money and people that write books for the sake of trying to become known, those are going to be weak. They're not going to be the kind of books that are going to make an impact. You show me somebody that's inside themselves. They have a cause and a passion and a desire to help. It won't be long. God will take that and promote it. Dr. John R. Rice didn't start the Sword of the Lord to become great. He started the Sword of the Lord to serve his generation. Hey, Dr. Dennis Coyle did not start the Revival Fires newspaper to get his name out. I remember when he started it. I remember Dr. Dennis Coyle coming to my office and saying, Brother Owens, I'm going to start a paper. I want to know what you think. I'd like to have your backing. He said to me, I want to start a paper that is a positive paper, and I want the old-time religion, and I want to use preachers that are getting the job done. I don't want to use everybody from yesterday. I want preachers to see some today preachers that still believe right. He said, I've got to do this. I've got to do it. That's the reason the Revival Fires newspaper has become successful. Not because Dr. Dennis Coyle said, I want to be famous, but Dr. Dennis Coyle got lost in a cause. He got lost in a cause. Russell Anderson was a poor businessman that was bound and determined to help the ministry of God financially. And he threw himself into his work, and the rest is history. Set a goal for God and just get lost in your cause. That's what servants do. That's what servants do. Servants are made great by making their tasks of life great. Servants are remembered while people with big titles are often forgotten. Servants get lost in a cause. Number four, servants don't care about titles. Servants don't care about titles. Servants see a need and fill it. A title really means nothing to a true servant. They just want to do the work. Not the title that describes the work. They want to do the work. See, a servant sees a need and wants to fill the need. There are some people in Christianity that are waiting for someone to give them a title so they'll go do what ought to be done. You know what God's doing? He's watching to see if you're going to do what needs to be done, and then he'll determine if he'll give you the title. You say, give me the title, I'll do it. Do the work. Maybe God will give you the title, but even if he does not, you ought to do the work. I'll use a personal illustration. I was in Bible college. And I had determined in Bible college that I wasn't just going to sit there and read books. I wasn't just going to try to absorb all sorts of facts and figures. I wanted to be a part of the ministry. This is what I did. I set the goal that before I left the church that hosted my Bible college, that there would be families in that church. When I went through school, I was going to go out, I was going to win some families to Christ, I was going to get them baptized, I was going to help them grow in the Lord, and when I walked across the platform, got my diploma, there would be families sitting in the pews of that church that I had helped to reach, because I thought that's what the ministry was all about. And that's what I did. Then Mrs. Owens and I, we thought from there that we would go out to some little country church and I would pastor some little country church, maybe a town of 3,000 or 4,000, because we came from a city that size. I figured, well, when I graduate, they'll give me that diploma, I'll go out and I'll find me a town of 4,000 or 5,000, I'll build me a little church and I'll love some people till the day I die. I had no idea that the pastor and the chancellor of that college had been watching me try to reach those families. He called me in. He said, you know something? I'd like to hire you on my staff. Dr. Jack Kyle said, you know, and I thought, well, what would you want me to do? He said, I'd like to give you the position of assistant pastor, but what I want you to do is what you've already been doing for the last 4 years. Now, what some people do, they say, you know what I'm going to do? I'll wait until I graduate. I'll wait until I get the title. Then I'll try to do the work. Do the work without the title. You don't have to have a big title to go do something for God. So, well, if you give me the title, I'd show up and do the work. You're crazy. I don't think that way. I've been waiting to see what you were going to do, and then maybe the title can become available. You see, servants get lost in a cause, and a servant does not care about a title. People who have messages deep in their heart don't care about titles. They just care about getting the message out. People who have a calling don't care about titles. They just have to fulfill their calling. General William Booth felt led of God to feed and to clothe the poor and to win them to Jesus Christ. He didn't care about a corporate title. The organization that he founded is called the Salvation Army. What an incredible investment General William Booth made. But he wasn't worried about titles. He's worried about helping people. That's really what it's all about. Folks, we get all mixed up in our humanism and in this secular world. We get this idea that we've just got to be in charge. We've got to be in charge. We've got to have the prominent position. We've got to have the title. I'll tell you something. I worked in many factories where there were men over me in title, but they didn't run the shop. You can ask the boss. I didn't need the title. I want to make sure things went well. I have bailed out many a supervisor. Didn't know how to deal with the people. Didn't know how to get production out of them. It's not all about a title. Get the job done. Stop worrying about if you get the title. Guy, if I had a title, brother, I'd go soul winning. You're not doing it for the right reason then. I'd change the way I dress, but if you give me a title, you're crazy. You're supposed to do it because it's right to do, not to get a title, not to get a position. That's not what Christianity is all about. We do right because it's right to do, not so we get exaltation, not so we get promoted. So I said this. I said, servants are made great by making their task great. Servants are remembered while big titles are forgotten. Servants get lost in a cause. Servants don't care about titles. They care about the work. Number five, servants are not looking for prestige or authority. Servants are not looking to see if anybody is looking. If your work ethic is determined by an audience, you're a fake. You gotta work hard when nobody's watching. But there's a problem. There's never a time when nobody's watching. God sees it all. Servants do not perform their task to be noticed. They perform their task to be used. Servants have a work to do and plan to do it with or without the audience. Servants don't care if anybody recognizes them. Usually they prefer no recognition. Servants don't care if they're mentioned. The only person you need to impress is God. It's God. If all of us can get this thing of impressing people out of our system and say, it's God. I've got to do right by God. Servants don't require their name to be printed in the advertising. They just want to be a part of what's going on. Servants are not out to be served, but to serve. To be respected? No, but to respect. That's what servants are. Let me say this. Number six, servants are not usually quitters. If greatness is to serve, true servants are not quitters. You know, I've been around. It's been my privilege. And every one of these men are in heaven now. They've passed away. They've passed on. I was around Dr. Lee Robertson. I was around him in private. I was around him in public. I preached with him. I never heard Lee Robertson say, I think I'm going to quit, ever. I never seen or heard him entertaining quitting on God. I was around Tom Malone in private, in public. We preached together. I never heard Tom Malone. He didn't ever say to me, I've been thinking about quitting. Never heard it. I never heard Jack Kyle say, I've been thinking about quitting. Never heard it. Servants don't wind around contemplating quitting on God. They've got a calling, they've got a task, and they're going to get it done. You know, the great Joshua was Moses' assistant. Moses died and Joshua was promoted. You just don't see in the scripture, you see him Joshua whining around all the time. He wasn't going around contemplating quitting all the time. To be a servant, you've got to get a tenacity about you that says, I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep on going for God. That's all there is to it. I'm not going to even think about it. I'm not going to imagine it. I am going to keep going for God. Number 7, servants use whatever they have. Servants use whatever they have. Servants get the job done with whatever's available. I love preachers, and I enjoy helping preachers, and I respect preachers, but sometimes they just tick me off. Preachers say, well, if I had more buildings, my church would grow. Well, if I had a different area of the country, if I had different people, I'm thinking, well, if they had a different pastor. If I had more money, everybody has an excuse as to why they're not serving and going forward. Servants don't look for excuses, but they look for solutions. Servants learn not to accept their own excuses. A good servant learns not to make up excuses. And once they've made one, they retract it and say, you know what, I need to stop making excuses. You'll never fulfill your potential as a servant if you're going to accept your own excuses. Servants use what God's given them. You take the widow and her two mites. She didn't have much, but she used what God gave her. She went down in history. Was she a queen? No. Well, was she married to someone famous? No. But she had two mites, and she used them for God. She went down in history. Samson used the jawbone of an ass and went down in history. I think of Dr. J.R. Faulkner. I think some of you have heard that name, Dr. J.R. Faulkner. He was assistant pastor to Dr. Lee Robertson. He was a music man there. You know what he did? He stayed at home and made sure the Sunday school departments all ran very, very well and helped with the organization of the church. Dr. Lee Robertson went around and tried to encourage pastors and churches across America. Dr. Robertson was the pastor. Dr. J.R. Faulkner, he was his assistant pastor. But Dr. Faulkner, he used what talents he had. He used them in a big way. And here's what I think. Probably the most famous assistant pastor in this generation is Dr. J.R. Faulkner. I'm not really sure there's any assistant pastor that's known across fundamentalism any better than J.R. Faulkner. At one point, he was the president of Tennessee Temple University. What did he do? He just used what he had. He used what he had. Real servants don't want to live off of everybody else's successes. They want to be contributors. Let me finish with this. Servants are not easily offended. Servants are not worried about their reputation or their feelings. Servants just want to serve. No promotion to a servant does not stop them. No praise to a servant, it won't stop them. Servants don't want or need everyone's respect or honor, so whatever is said about them, they just keep going. We get too cocky and too arrogant. We get too worried about ourselves and our reputation, what people think. You know what we all need to do? We need to throw the concern of your reputation to the wind and just serve God. Just serve God. Just serve God. That's all. Some are so easily forgotten. And that's because they're easily offended. I tell you, you won't last long serving God if you're easily offended. You won't last long. You know why? Our whole business is people. I don't know if anybody's ever told you, people are offensive. People can be jerks. You say, well, I'm looking for a church where I won't be offended. Well, you're not in it. When you find it, let me know. They're all going to leave it when you join. But servants are not easily offended. Can I tell you why? Not worried about the reputation. They're out to serve. They're not worried about a title. They're out to serve. They're not worried about what people are saying. They're serving God with all their might. And those people last. Why? I'm just serving. But it might mar my title. Your problem is your title. Just serve. Be a servant. Why? Jesus said the servant is the greatest among these. The Bible says that Jesus came in the form of a servant. What does it mean? It means that we are to mimic Jesus Christ. And servants are not made great by making themselves great or by getting a title. They're made great by making their task great. Servants are remembered while others with big titles are forgotten. Servants get lost in a cause and become oblivious to what's going on around them. Servants don't care about titles. Servants are not looking for prestige or authority. Real, strong servants, they don't quit. They just keep on going. Servants use what they have, and servants are not easily offended. Let's just decide that we want to be servants. The ones I want to be the president. Why don't you just be a servant? Do you know what the United States of America needs? United States of America needs a man in the White House who will, number one, be a servant to God, and number two, a servant to the American people. That's what we need. A servant. Somewhere along the way, we've lost the purpose of the president of the United States. He's to be a servant. And to everybody here that has a position in this church, he'd say, let me tell you what my title is, Brother Owens. I don't care. Let me tell you what your description is supposed to be. Servant. Servant. Humble yourself to become a servant. Jesus did. And he did not think it robbery to come. He was God. Did not think it robbery to come in the flesh, in the form of a servant. He didn't get cheated. He didn't get cheated. Born in a manger is the most famous person that ever walked the face of the earth. Right. Have you seen my big house, Brother Owens? I don't care. I know people in little houses that run circles around you spiritually. Every head bowed, every eye closed.